today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, the Taylor Swift tour in Europe moved the economic needle more than the Paris Olympics, and we have a story about how one bag of Cheetos made dramatic changes inside Carlsbad Caverns.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:25, word comes that Avis was hacked last week. Should we be trusting travel companies with our personal information?
At 11:35, travel girl Sydney has some tips on river cruising, along with her best deal on a European river adventure.
In honor of the anniversary of 9/11 this past week, at 11:40 this morning, we take a look back at how different air travel is now compared to how it was then.
TSO is coming back to town with their annual Christmas show on November 27th. This year's show is titled The Lost Christmas Eve. Tom talks to TSO's Al Petrelli at 11:50.
Thank you for the privilege of your time this morning. We'll try to make it worth your investment on today's edition of The Travel Guys. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano here with you. Thanks for coming along. Don't forget now, links to our guests and so much more always can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. I'm here in Sacramento. Glad to be with you. And Mark is in St. Louis, so we're remote. Been traveling the world to make you a smarter traveler. Good morning, Mark. Yeah.
Good morning. I don't know that anybody has ever considered St. Louis traveling the world, but nonetheless, it is the home of the Cardinals, my favorite baseball team. It's been an interesting week of travel.
Wait a minute. Yep. It used to be your favorite baseball team. You're a Giants fan now. Come on.
Yeah, kind of. But, you know, I was a Cardinal fan growing up, so Stan Musial's jersey hangs on the wall at my office. So, that kind of tells you. So, anyway, I had
Stick with your roots.
I had an interesting experience this week getting back here to St. Louis. I was flying on United Airlines. I've been a United flyer for probably the last half of my career here, so I've piled up a lot of miles. And I'm not at the top of their status list, but fairly close. And we had an issue in Sacramento. A flight attendant was ill, either showed up ill or called in sick or something. Anyway, our plane couldn't take off because we didn't have a full crew. So we were delayed a little over an hour. They had to wait for an inbound flight. And then they shanghaied flight attendant off of that one to go back with us to Denver, and we were on our way. Of course, with an hour to an hour and 15-minute delay, if you know anything about flying and connecting on United in Denver or anywhere on any airline, an hour is just about enough time for everybody on the plane to miss their connection. So when we get to Denver, literally when the plane pulled up to the gate, I had 12 minutes before my flight left, and I'm like, well, this is probably not going to happen. I turn on my phone, and there's a message from United Airlines, and it says, Mr. Hoffman, go outside. There's an agent and a car waiting for you to take you to your plane. And I'm like, well, this has never happened before. So I'm 15 rows back in the plane. I wasn't in the forward cabin. And I make my way off the plane, and there's a lady, as everybody gets off the plane, she's saying, Are you Mr. Hoffman? And I identify myself. She says, quickly, come with me. We have 3 minutes. So she opens the door, and we go down the outside of the jetway there, and there's a car waiting, and we get in. They throw my carry-on luggage in. We get in, and off we go down the tarmac towards my gate, and she says, I've got Mr. Hoffman in the car, and lady on the other end says, you've got 2 minutes. And so about 30 seconds later, she comes on the radio as we're getting close to the gate. She says, sorry, they've bumped him off the flight. So we didn't make it, despite all of United's efforts to get me to the airplane. Yeah. I never had that ever happen before.
Well, yeah, I would say if you had, we would have heard about it. It sounds like a failed James Bond movie theme thing. Yeah.
The lady who was driving me, she was really not very happy because she said, they told us we had 2 minutes. It's only been a few seconds. She was like, damn, we would have made it. But unfortunately, coming into Denver, there was some weather. So we had to go around. Took us about an extra 10 minutes. And that ultimately was what cost me. The irony of the whole thing was 12 minutes, literally, between one plane getting in and the other one leaving. And all of United's superhuman efforts, which I really appreciated. It was kind of cool. That had never happened to me before. And I didn't make it, but my bag did.
Wow.
So I get a text. I'm in the Denver airport for like 6 hours. United was very nice. They took me to the club, which I don't belong to and didn't have a pass for. And so I'd have some place to comfortable to be for 6 hours. So it was very impressive. I've done a lot of business with United, and it was nice to have an instance where they were really kind of trying to tell me, I guess, that, hey, you know, we really appreciate your business and we'd like to try to help you here. And in making a superhuman effort, it didn't work out, but it still kind of left me feeling like they had made it, given it their best shot.
Well, there you go. See, they've been listening to the travel guys, and they heard some of the things that negative that you might have mentioned about them and decided that it was time that they make a little extra effort for you. So anyway, very interesting story. Fascinating. We enjoyed that. By the way, at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we do our best to bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. And there's the travel news theme, and that means that Mark will speak next with the travel news. Go for it, Mark.
We had a hurricane make landfall last week, and it caused some pretty serious, caused some flight disruptions in New Orleans. The airport was closed afternoon on Wednesday, and it also disrupted some cruise ships. There was a ship, a Carnival ship, that was due to dock in New Orleans on Wednesday, but the ports were closed, so they stayed out at sea. And came in the next day. Somebody asked me one time, what happens if your ship is caught in a hurricane? Well, you know, they kind of monitor the weather and try to make sure that they steer clear of such things. But in this case, I guess they thought they could sneak into New Orleans, but they could not. But just word to the wise, if you're thinking about a cruise out of Florida between June and November, that is hurricane season. So you might want to have a plan B. Utah National Park visitors spent almost $2 billion last year supporting Utah's economy. Almost 16 million people visited Utah's national parks, which, if you haven't ever been to Bryce Canyon and Moab and Zion National Park and some of those amazing places in Utah, I will just tell you that you have missed one of the world's great natural attractions. If you've been all over the planet and you've never seen the national parks in Utah, you need to make a change to your bucket list, because they are among the most amazing places in the entire world. Anyways, those parks created nearly $2 billion in economic activity in Utah. Utah's parks were third in economic activity behind California, over $3 billion. In economic activity, and North Carolina, $2.6 billion. Totally, people spent over 325 million visitors spent $26 billion in our national parks last year. So if you're for communities that are near those places, that's a big economic impact. Speaking of economic impact, Taylor Swift had a tour in Europe this year. The CEO from Hyatt Hotels says that at a conference last week, said that last year was an extremely strong year for his company, and he said that Taylor Swift's tour brought more business to his hotels around Europe on a percentage basis than to his hotels in Paris and the Paris suburb. So Taylor Swift was a greater economic value, at least to this one hotel chain, and my guess is that probably those numbers will hold up throughout the industry. So Taylor Swift is moving the biggest economic needle of anybody. Also, they're talking in Los Angeles about how Shohei Ohtani has boosted the Dodgers this year, but they've seen a 30% jump in Japanese visitors in Los Angeles this summer just from Expedia. So they're saying a lot more people are coming to Los Angeles. So just a couple of examples of how tourism tends to move the economic needle a little bit. Southwest Airlines has been undergoing some changes. They've announced that they're going to get rid of some of their traditional boarding processes and stuff like that. Those changes continued last week as their executive chairman, Gary Kelly, has announced that he will step down. Six more board members are going to leave in November. An activist investment group has been after Southwest Airlines, feeling that they are underperforming from a financial standpoint. So there is some more changes are underway at Southwest. Those of us who fly, I'm sure we will see them within a matter of months. Air Canada is facing a possible strike. We've talked in this program about how hard it is for U.S. airlines and their staffs to strike. In Canada, not quite so much. Air Canada pilots and staff are threatening a possible strike. It could happen as early as the middle of next week. We have three Air Canada flights a day from Sacramento, two trips to Vancouver, and one to Toronto. If you are scheduled to take one of those flights in the next couple of weeks, my suggestion is that you pay very close attention to the news and, you know, Google Air Canada strike each morning when you get out of bed and see what's going on, so that if something happens, seats will be at a premium to get those cities on other airlines, so you'll want to act quickly if you are in that situation. Possible Air Canada strike. Joe Brancatelli, a friend of the Travel Guys, sent out a bulletin last night saying he really thinks that this is a possibility sometime next week. The Oakland Hilton, after 50 years, has announced its closing. Not a good economic sign for Oakland. They are looking for somebody to take over the operation of the hotel, but after half a century, the Airport Hilton, which has been kind of a landmark there at the airport in Oakland, is closed. Here is an interesting story. A man in Australia has been fined by the airline. His behavior on the airplane caused the flight to have to turn around and go back to its origin city. In order to do that, they had to dump a bunch of fuel in order to land, because the plane would have been too heavy to land with the amount of fuel that it had on board. A court has ordered the man to pay for the fuel. Ooh. The man who misbehaved, to pay for the fuel costs. They fined him $6,000 for his actions on the plane and fined him another $5,200 for the cost of the fuel that the airline had to dump. I think this is the way you get people to behave on airplanes.
No kidding.
If they had to pay for the cost, if the person who was misbehaving, listen, they could tack on the costs of staff, of relanding the airplane, of reaccommodating all of these people who have probably missed connections and stuff like that. You could be talking some really big bucks. I think if you publicized, you did that a few times and you publicized it, some of these people who are misbehaving on airplanes might decide to behave themselves just a bit better. If they knew it was going to cost them $20,000 or $30,000 or $50,000 or $100,000 for their one little incident on the airplane, don't you think that might make things a little different?
Absolutely. I think that's the kind of thing that's going to get folks' attention. By the way, when they dump fuel, mm-hmm. did they have to be out over the ocean to do that? What happens to the fuel? I mean,
well, that's a really good question. I'll try to find out.
Okay, what else you got?
That is a really good question. All right, let's see here. What else have we got? Cheetos are in the news this week. This is really not a good story. Someone dropped a bag, was eating a snack bag of Cheetos while taking a tour inside Carlsbad Caverns. They go through the cavern every day and try to pick up trash and things that people have inadvertently dropped, because it's a very delicate environment inside the big cavern at Carlsbad Caverns National Park. And so, you know, they ask people, please don't bring anything besides water into the cavern. Somebody brought a bag of Cheetos, dropped them. They didn't find them right away. And a small bag of Cheetos, believe it or not, took on its own life in a huge portion of the cavern. By the time they noticed it, mold had spread up many of the nearby surfaces, causing death to some of the life in the cavern. Many of the things that come into the cavern that people might bring in with them, including in a bag of Cheetos, will disturb the ecosystems there fairly immediately. They estimated that this bag had probably been in the cavern for a couple of months. One small bag of Cheetos had already started to change the environment in an area several feet around where the bag of Cheetos had been dropped. So I guess the moral to this, it could be a gum wrapper, it could be a tissue that you blew your nose into, anything that might contain other life forms that could have an effect. Spit, chewing tobacco. One of the park rangers said they had somebody one time who came in and spit out some chewing tobacco out of their mouth, and by the time they found it, it had taken on a life of its own. So anyway, it's a reminder that if you're headed to a national park or to a delicate area, little tiny things can make a really big difference. So please show some respect and pay attention to those rules so that we can make sure that our places stay intact. And one more quick story here. I tell you what, let's hold this one and we'll talk about it afterwards. The TSA is proposing another delay to the Real ID, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the program, and that's your travel news for today.
Wow. Got to go to Carlsbad and get attacked by a creature that formerly was a bag of Cheetos. That's out of pretty crazy. All right, we are the Travel Guys. By the way, speaking of eating, this is a bad segue here, Tom. My friends at Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House wanted me to remind you that if you're struggling to find a great value and a great meal, they've got an amazing special going on right now. It's their Petite Filet Mignon and Petite Lobster Tail Dinner. For only $34.95, it's a great bargain for your money. Hand-cut charbroiled petite filet mignon and paired with a nice petite lobster tail with a drawn butter lemon, including asparagus and warm sourdough bread. Can't go wrong. And if that's not for you, then ask for the Travel Guys Special. That's a 6-ounce lobster tail with the fixins. And that's all available for you at Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House, where the Travel Guys go. You can find them there. Right off of Highway 50 in Hazel. So tell them the Travel Guy sent you. All right, Mark. You know, we hear this every week, it seems like, that some company that we do business with gets hacked and our personal information gets taken somewhere along the line, whatever it might be. And now it's Avis, I understand.
Yep. They announced last week that somebody had gotten into their system, and about 300,000 customers were exposed. The letter that they sent out indicated that information varied by customer, but included names, mailing addresses, email addresses, dates of birth, phone numbers, driver's license information, credit card numbers, and in a few cases, social security numbers. I'm not sure why a car rental company would have somebody's social security number, but perhaps that was just something that was part of a form they filled out or something like that. You know, you can auto fill out forms on a computer, and sometimes it will offer more information than is asked for by the other end. But the thing that bothers me most about this, Tom, is that every time these guys get hacked, and this is not just travel companies, it's companies all over the place that ask for our personal information, and every time they get hacked, they act all apologetic and, oh, we're so sorry that this has happened and everything. In this case, Avis has offered customers who were hacked years. It was ironic that the commercial before we came back on the air was about LifeLock.
I know.
On our program here. By the way, I do subscribe to their services. That's the one that I use. So unsolicited endorsement, LifeLock, it to me is the best one of the ones that I've looked at. But it doesn't hurt to have somebody out there notifying you in the event that if there's a breach like this, they will notify you there's been a breach, and oftentimes 2 or 3 days before the company does. But my concern just is, what are they doing to protect our information? We don't really know, because they act all upset when something happens, but then within a few days, it's business as usual. I drove by an Avis lot here yesterday. They didn't appear to be closed or having any problems. So how do we know that these companies are really protecting our information? And my bottom line is probably we don't.
No, I agree. I agree. You take a chance whenever you give personal information to any company. The only thing you can do is like you said, you get a monitoring source, check your information, and keep an eye on your accounts and be ready to act if you spot something. It's back to a lot of things. It's buyer beware. I don't know if there's any way around it.
I read some of the Reddit posts that have to do with this. One lady said, people in stores still look at me incredulously when they ask me if I would give them a piece of information, a phone number or an address or something like that, so I can be, or an email, so I can be added to a list. And she said, I just don't do it. And they always look at me like I'm weird or something. Another employee who worked for Enterprise Car Rental, admittedly, this has been a few years ago, so don't panic, but said that their mainframe system was so outdated that if she had the name, address, and phone number of anybody, that she could pull them up in the system and find out where they were renting cars. And she said the information was available to anybody. So she said, fortunately, that has changed a little bit now. But how much has it changed? And all of these companies that have our information, should there maybe, listen, I'm not for big government. Government has enough role in my life as it is. But there are some places that you need the government to stand in, and I think this is one of them. I think that it's time for them to be some rules and some regulations of how our information is protected, and that we know that in its common knowledge, and maybe there's a law that causes them. And then also, what happens? What is their liability when we get hacked? If they didn't play by the rules, do they pay? Do they have to pay off people? Do they have to do something for people? As opposed to if they did play by the rules and they got hacked and it wasn't their fault. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Yes, I do. yeah, I don't know. It's an ongoing issue that we're all going to be dealing with for a long time because I don't see how it can change.
One person pointed out online that our personal information really isn't our personal information anymore. You've given it out enough times and it's gone to enough places that you would be surprised how personal it is not. And I think witness the fact that many places when you redeem points and stuff like that are requiring an extra level of security tells me that they're having issues with people getting into people's accounts and stuff like that. Anyways, just information that just take it as you will. But I think it's time for us to see some rules and regulations regarding the protection of personal information.
Amen to that. Hey there, it's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Links to Sydney's website and so much more today can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Time to spend some time with the Travel Girl, a travel advisor here in the Sacramento area. Welcome back to the Travel Guys, Sydney.
Hi, how are we all today?
We are good. How is everything at the Poodle Booked It?
Good, ready to float down the river is what I hear.
Yeah, listen, I know river cruises are really one of your favorite things to do, and you and I both belong to the same Toastmasters Club, which meets here at Sports Leisure Vacations on Wednesday night. If you're looking for a Toastmaster Club, we have a nice group of people who meets here on Wednesday evening. Anyways, last week you were talking about, and I thought this would make such a wonderful way to make people a little bit smarter. You were talking about what you called the three C's that were important items for river cruising, and I really thought you hit the mark on that. Share a little bit with our listeners, if you would.
Yeah. So for me, the three C's of river cruising are convenience, culture, and comfort. So basically kind of how I say it is oceans take you to the countries and rivers will take you through them. And when we're talking about convenience, you really get to explore like the heart of Europe without having to unpack every night. You get included excursions on almost every river cruise company, some multiple times a day or one, just an overview of the city and just that great kind of overview of where to go and places to explore on your own as well. In terms of culture, I like to say you get to explore some of the things you might have forgot from your history class. And that kind of goes for those gorgeous churches, the beautiful frescoes, just the wonderful architecture that is Europe that we really don't get in the United States. And on that same thing, just comfort, right? So the inclusions that we talked about before, having your room kind of go with you as you're exploring places instead of having to pack and unpack every day and kind of, you know, move through that. There's only like 110 to 190 people on board, which really just makes it nice. So you get to meet a bunch of new people, experience those great people, learn about them, as well as you get your food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner included. And at lunch and dinner, you also get beer and wine. So I don't see how it's a bad thing to do.
I have this vision, Tom, of Sydney going down the river, and there's this little, you know, rowboat attached to the back of the cruise, the river cruise ship, and there's Sydney back there. No, I'm only kidding.
I thought you were going to say back there it would be her poodle in the raft going along. You know, listening to you talk about river cruises does make you create a great visual and make you want to go. I know Mark is not big on large ships. Mark, this has got to be the kind of thing that would be right up your alley, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, very, very much so, very much so. So, Sydney, tell us about, you're a river cruise person. Have you got a good deal on a river cruise that you kind of have a hankering for that maybe people could contact you and if they were interested in?
So I recommend two rivers for your first river cruise, either the Rhine or the Danube. The Danube River is going to go through Germany, Austria, Hungary, and it just has some amazing, beautiful highlights. One of the ones that I've been booking a lot lately is the Danube Dreams, which includes two nights in Prague. I was able to get a great a group rate for April 8th to the 17th for $3,088 per person for the window room, which will include everything that we just talked about. And so the only thing you'd have to pay for at that point is the flight.
Well,
and there in the background, I think we have the poodle.
I think the poodle was saying, hey, you know, this is a deal you don't want to miss. If you want to upgrade to more than just a window room, you know, do they have ones that have little outdoor balcony things you can get?
Yes. So with Avalon Waterways, which is the cruise that I'm recommending for this one, they have something called the Panorama Suite, which is going to be a French balcony. For, I believe it's about $1,600 more, but you get a little bigger room, and then the room, the bed faces the window, and so you can be sleeping and just be able to see the views, and the window slides down and makes it into a part where your room becomes the balcony.
That is so cool. Yeah, a little pricey more, but I guess if you want to go first class and you literally feel like you're outdoors almost on the cruise.
Yes. I have done it, and it is definitely worth the experience. You feel one of a kind and really just get to see the river and see just all of these beautiful countries sailing by as you're, you know, sailing away. So that's just really cool as well.
So, ports of call on this particular cruise?
So it is going to hit, it's going to start in Budapest, which is one of my favorite cities of all time. And it goes to Vienna, it's going to go to Bratislava, and then it ends in Nuremberg, and then you have 2 days in Prague to explore there and do that sort of thing as well. So you're hitting, you know, four or five countries just right there.
Wow, Prague. We have a group of sports leisure travelers in the Czech Republic as we speak.
Amazing.
All right, so if you're interested, not only does Sydney have a good deal on this river cruise, but she knows a little bit about river cruises. So if you're a river cruise fan and you're looking for an independent journey, you can find a link to this cruise and to Sydney at travelguysradio.com. You can give her a call and check her out, and maybe you'll be out cruising before you know it. Thanks, Sydney.
Thank you.
Wow, that is, I've not much on big boats, but like you, Mark, I think I would really like this. By the way, I'm going to show my ignorance here. What's a French balcony?
What's a French balcony?
Yeah,
how
she
would
says
I know?
That. I don't know. French. I thought.
Well, ask her next time. She's already gone. Okay. Maybe one of our listeners will know, and will go to travelguysradio.com and tell the idiots on the radio what a French balcony is. Does that mean like there's a French gal on the balcony already for you, or I don't know.
I'll look it up.
Okay. All right. Please do that.
All right. Coming up, by the way, a little bit later on, we're going to have an interview with Al Petrelli with Trans-Siberian Orchestra. If you're a fan, you want to check out. They got a show that they haven't had for about 14 years. We're going to talk about. In the meantime, Mark, I was thinking about this earlier this week as we were. Yeah, I wouldn't call it celebrating 9/11, but remembering 9/11, which we all should do, and understanding how it changed the world, really, and certainly changed it for everybody that travels by air, for sure. And my wife and I were talking about how different it was back then.
Yes, and that's kind of the purpose of this little spot here, is just to talk about some of the things that are different. I don't want to go, as you mentioned, you know, 9/11 was a horrible, horrible thing. They did a survey on how, over two decades later, how many people, you know, what do they rank it in terms of life-changing events, and how many people can remember where they were that day? Would you believe that 96% of people over the age of 30 can remember where they were when 9/11 happened? That means 24 out of 25 people. And interestingly enough, when they asked people 24 to 29 if they remembered where they were, 35% of them said no. But that, of course, would be because many of them were very tiny at that point in time, might not remember any place they were at that time. But that's kind of ironic that so many years later, one in five Americans still rank it as one of the top life-changing events of the 21st century, topped only by the coronavirus. So it was, for those of you who are too young to remember, it was the day that airplanes flew into buildings in New York and in Washington, D.C., and it was a huge tragedy. And there were a lot of changes that happened after that, and some of them that we can talk about here for a minute. Of course, probably the biggest one was TSA came into being. For the first time in history, all Americans were subject to search en masse. I mean, if you wanted to fly on an airplane, you were going to pass through security, and it was going to be a lot different than it had ever been before. Do you remember walking up to the gate? I do.
Oh, sure, absolutely. That was always a big deal, was to go and meet people coming to visit you by going literally all the way to the gate where they get off the plane. There was no TSA. There was no... You know, had to check in, and yeah, that was a common occurrence. Oh, well, let's go meet them at the gate.
Yeah, exactly. So no more of that. Everybody is outside of security now. Full body scanners. I'm a guy who has metal in my body, titanium from hip replacements. So when I go to the airport, I can't go through the one that most of you go through. I have to go through a different one because I will alarm that one that most people go through. So I have to do the full body scanner with my hands up and everything out of my pockets and stuff like that. So, of course, that's something that never happened. And of course, pre-screening of passengers, which we don't all realize is going on, but nonetheless, there's a terrorism watch list, and every passenger's name is compared against that list before they are allowed to fly. They haven't apprehended terrorists at airports in the United States, but that perhaps indicates that, and we haven't had a repeat of 9/11, so perhaps the system is working. TSA PreCheck, of course, which allows you to skip the regular TSA lines and get through a little quicker, but the reason you're getting through quicker is because, in essence, you have been pre-screened. You have provided the TSA with information and gone to an interview and talking about providing personal information to people so that they would know they could do background checks on you and make sure that you were a trusted traveler. So before 9/11, there was no such thing as a trusted or an untrusted traveler.
There's also the different types of things that are no longer allowed to be carried on board a plane. That was no big deal. Now you have to, there's a liquid regulations. Those weren't there before. You know what? You got to be careful at Christmas time in regards to what it is, that type of cake or something that you might take to a Thanksgiving dinner that may resemble plastic explosives.
You can take a frozen bottle of water through security, but you cannot take a regular bottle of water through security. A lot of things changed in the airline industry after 9/11 because there were consequences there also. U.S. Airways and America West merged in 2005. Delta swallowed Northwest in 2008. United and Continental in 2010. Southwest got AirTran Airways in 2011. American and U.S. Airways in 2013. So all of those old airlines, America West, Northwest, AirTran, Continental, U.S. Airways, all gone. Today, four airlines control about 85% of the domestic traffic. Also, there were no fees. There were no checked baggage fees. There were no seat reservation fees. Now they are the bedrock of airline profits. In fact, airlines make way more money off of checking your bag and selling you a seat assignment than they ever made by you flying on their airplane. There was also our friends at Travelers United point out that there was no tarmac delay rule. Remember when we used to hear about planes sitting on the tarmac for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours? Well, today there's a limit of how long a plane can sit on a tarmac, and part of that was directly because of situations that happened around 9/11. Airline alliances were formed, so that and a lot of these were before, you know, now you have the Star Alliance and the Sky Team and Oneworld and some airlines who interline and work together. And probably the most important thing on, if you remember from that day, iPhones did not exist. So you couldn't share what was happening with other people. You had to pick up an actual telephone in order to be able to do that, because we had, on 9/11, there was no such thing as an iPhone. So a lot of things have changed really dramatically. Of course, the invention of the iPhone doesn't have anything to do with 9/11, but it just points out that if something like that were to happen today, the ability of to people to communicate about it and stuff would be much greater. But I think it's very interesting to hear that 24 out of 25 people who are over the age of 30 remember where they were on 9/11.
And in conclusion, I think we're all more than happy to put up with whatever small inconveniences that go along with the new safety regulations as a result, to keep us all safe. Yeah. Okay. Hey there, it's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. A link to our special guest and all that can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Really hard to believe it's been a year. It's that time again, my friends, to bring on the lead guitar and musical director for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra as TSO comes back to Sacramento in 2024. Welcome back to the program, Al.
Oh, my friend, it's so good to hear your voice. Thank you for having me. And, yeah, that year flew by, didn't it?
It sure did. Sure did. You guys are scheduled for November 27th here in Sacramento with two shows at 2:30 and a 7 o'clock, of course, at the Golden One Center. It's going to be pretty spectacular. You're doing the Lost Christmas Eve this year, right?
Yeah, first time we've played this one in about a dozen years. You know, so it's going to be exciting. And the fact that we're playing, I think it's the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, so everybody can kind of just, you know, have a fun way to celebrate the beginning of the holiday season. And we're going to put on two amazing shows. A lot of different stuff this year, my brother.
Tell me a little bit about what's going on this year, Al. Is the band members, any changes, anything going on I should know about?
Yeah, there's a couple of changes, as I'm sure you're aware of, and we tragically lost Vitaly Capri earlier this year, one of our keyboard players. So obviously we've had to make a couple changes to replace him. Although he is kind of irreplaceable on a personal level and to some degree a musical level, but wonderful human being. Sorely missed, but we found a young replacement for him who's going to bring, you know, something different to the band this year, so that'd be one thing. We're going to be performing The Lost Christmas Eve for the first time in about a dozen years, which was the third installment of Paul O'Neill's Christmas trilogy. And of course, like I tell you year after year after year, all these decades you and I have been talking on the phone, the production will be bigger, better, sleeker, crazier. We had a fantastic run last year. The folks in the audience seem to have loved the show. And when they come back, especially the folks I consider the repeat offenders, I want to make sure we do something just different enough to keep them interested.
You know, my brother, who doesn't live here in Sacramento, I was on the phone with him just recently, and I brought you guys up and said, look, I got to take you to see TSO. He says, well, I've heard about them. Tell me a little bit about what they're about. I don't know if I've ever seen them on TV or anything. What are they like? And anyway, Al, for those that are listening that have not seen you, and somebody says, explain your music, explain what this show is about, because it's just not just about a band. No. It's much bigger than that. So give us a short synopsis of what folks can expect for the first time when they go to a TSO show.
Well, visually, it's the biggest rock and roll show on the planet. We have 21 tractor trailers full of special effects, moving trusses, video content, pyro, lasers, lifts, hydraulics. You know, we have the ability to make the last row in the arena the front row, you know, during the course of the show. Musically, everything from the great composers' works, classical music, heavy metal, rock and roll, R&B, some jazz on occasion, acoustic guitar, vocal duets. You know, it dynamically runs the gamut. You know, any kind of style of music that you like, I promise, will be represented. And at the centerpiece of all that is our narrator who recites the poetry, which ties the songs together and explains the story to the audience that's going on. So for 2 hours and 15 minutes, we're going to take you on this emotional, musical, and visual roller coaster. So all I can say is, you know, if you've never seen this before, hang on tight. You're going to have the time of your life, I promise.
That's the absolute truth. Now, if you are a little sensitive to loud music, bringing a pair of earplugs would be appropriate. You know, not that the TSO is going to hurt you, but some people are a little more sensitive. I usually find that if you start the show off with the earplugs, you'll have them out probably about halfway through. This year,
absolutely. The kids, also little kids, make sure they have headphones on.
There you go. Absolutely. This year, Al, I know that each year you have a little orchestra in the background that you pull together from local musicians. Sacramento String's going to be with you again?
Every year. And listen, you know, these guys are amazing. They've been with me for the better part of, you know, I don't know, 2 decades now, maybe even a little bit longer. And, you know, well, I look forward to seeing them. You know, they've run the drill with me a bunch of times. They're great players, just great to be around. And they always bring that energy with them. So I'm looking forward to that as usual.
Any last words to our listeners today about the show coming up on the 27th, Al, that you'd like to mention?
No, only that, you know, listen, I appreciate you guys so very much. I mean, you know, the fact that we're coming back through town for 2 shows again means that you guys have enjoyed what we've done in the past and we enjoy playing there. You know, you guys make us feel like we're coming home. And more importantly, you know, I'm honored to stand downstage center and celebrate Paul O'Neill's work in the holiday season with you guys. You know, it's become a family event. You know, my family, your family, and all families put together. So I'm very grateful for all these decades to continue doing it. And I promise you, I won't let you down this year. It'll be bigger than, better than it was last year.
Outstanding. Always is. Never disappoint, Al. Thanks for joining us here with the Travel Guys, and we'll see you on Wednesday, November 27th, right there at the Golden One. Stay well, my friend.
All right, my brother. You too. Love to the family. I'll talk to you soon.
If you've never been to one of their shows, it is a little bit loud, but it's not overbearingly loud. I mean, but they're really exciting. I mean, get the grandkids and go and forget about it. Listen, there was something earlier in the show, Tom, we said we would throw in later on, and we've only got about a minute here. Remember the Real ID?
Yes.
Okay, so this has been going on for I don't know how long, but it seems like for the 16 years we've been on the air. There's efforts underway to push back the Real ID again. It was scheduled to take place to start in May the 7th. Everybody would have to have a new ID to fly on airplanes because nobody is paying any attention. They are now trying to push this back to 2027, which would be like the umpteenth delay. But anyways, if you're worried about the new ID thing, stay with the Travel Guys and we'll try to figure it out for you and keep you posted along the way. But it appears as though there may be no big hurry to go out and get one because it looks like they're going to push it back 2 more years.
All right. And a French balcony.
Okay. And a French balcony, yes.
Basically, it's a window that opens from top to bottom. It usually has a little bit of a railing that will stick out. It's not one that you can put a patio table and chair on, but it's a balcony that has a window that opens from top to bottom, kind of like French doors and swings out. So that's kind of what it is.
Thank you, sir, for fact-checking the Travel Guys. Thank you, sir. Remember to dance like nobody's watching. Bye from St. Louis.
See you next time, folks. Never has the time to turn around.